Son, never stop learning.
Here is the experience I want you to imagine. The lights are on. The grid is stable. The carbon footprint is near zero. And nobody is thinking about the power plant. That is the product, not the reactor, not the fuel rod. The experience of clean, reliable electricity that is so well designed, it disappears into the background. That is what atomic energy is trying to sell. And right now, it is not quite there. The question worth asking is, why not? Let me tell you what happens inside the fuel. Atomic energy comes from changes in an atom's nucleus, not its electrons, not its chemical bonds, the nucleus. When a slow-moving neutron strikes a uranium-235 nucleus, the nucleus splits. It releases smaller fragments, heat, and, critically, more neutrons. Those neutrons can strike other uranium nuclei and split them too. That is a chain reaction. The energy released per fission event is roughly 200 million electron volts. To put that in perspective, a single uranium fuel pellet, about the size of your fingertip, holds as much energy as 20 to 30 tons of coal. Nuclear reactions release millions of times more energy per event than burning anything. That is not a marketing claim. That is physics. A chain reaction that runs away is a disaster. A chain reaction that stops is useless. The product requirement is a controlled, sustained chain reaction, what engineers call criticality. A reactor achieves this through seven interlocking components: fuel, uranium oxide ceramic pellets assembled into rods and assemblies, moderator, a material, often water, that slows neutrons so they are more likely to cause fission, coolant, fluid that carries heat away from the core, control rods, neutron-absorbing materials inserted or withdrawn to raise or lower the reaction rate, pressure boundary, the vessel containing the coolant under pressure, containment, the reinforced structure around the reactor, safety systems, automatic shutdown mechanisms, and residual heat removal, because decay heat continues even after shutdown. Heat from fission produces steam. Steam drives a turbine. The turbine drives a generator. That is how nuclear heat becomes electricity. Here is where the data surprises people. IPCC life cycle assessments place nuclear power's median greenhouse gas intensity at roughly 12 grams of CO2 equivalent per kilowatt hour. Coal sits above 800, gas above 400. Wind and nuclear are in the same low carbon range. So a technology associated in the public mind with catastrophe is, by measured life cycle emissions, one of the cleanest electricity sources we have. The accidents matter. Chernobyl and Fukushima are real. But the lesson from both is not that fission is inherently uncontrollable. The lesson is that risk is dominated by design choices, safety culture, siting decisions, emergency preparation, and institutional trust, not physics alone. A well-designed reactor with passive safety systems and a strong regulatory culture performs very differently from one that does not have those things. Fusion is the other nuclear process. Instead of splitting heavy nuclei, fusion joins light ones, typically deuterium and tritium, releasing energy. The sun runs on fusion. The challenge on Earth is sustaining the conditions: temperatures above 100 million degrees Celsius, plasma confinement, and eventually net electricity output. In February 2026, Helion reported deuterium-tritium fusion in its Polaris prototype at roughly 150 million degrees Celsius. That is a real milestone. But Helion did not demonstrate net energy gain or electricity production. On the fission side, 2026 brought several zero-power criticality tests: Antares Mark Zero, Oklo Groves, Valair Ward 250, Deployable Energy Unity, and ALOX. Zero-power criticality means a sustained chain reaction was achieved at very low power. It is a testing milestone, not commercial electricity. India's 500 MWE prototype fast breeder reactor achieved first criticality on April 6, 2026, a more significant step toward a closed fuel cycle. Interpret these announcements carefully. Milestones are not products. So how do you evaluate any atomic energy claim without getting swept up in either fear or hype? Apply four questions. First, does it make useful electricity at meaningful scale? Not plasma, not heat. electricity delivered to a grid? Second, is safety passive and demonstrable? Can the reactor shut itself down without operator action or external power? Third, is the fuel and waste pathway credible? Where does the uranium come from? Where does the spent fuel go? A 1 0-megawatt reactor discharges roughly 20 tons of spent fuel per year. That material stays radioactive for a very long time. Deep geological disposal is the internationally accepted answer, but few countries have operating repositories. Fourth, can the design be deployed repeatedly at a believable cost? A prototype that works once is not a product. The atom is powerful enough. The question is whether the product, the institution, and the deployment model are coherent enough to deliver the experience we actually want. Clean power that is boring in the best possible way. The experience we want is simple, clean, reliable power that fades into the background. But atomic energy isn't quite there yet. Why? Inside the fuel, atomic energy comes from changes in an atom's nucleus. When a neutron strikes a uranium-235 nucleus, it splits, releasing fragments, heat, and more neutrons. This chain reaction releases about 200 million electron volts per fission event. A single uranium fuel pellet holds as much energy as 20 to 30 tons of coal. A runaway chain reaction is a disaster. A stopped one is useless. The goal is a controlled, sustained chain reaction, or criticality. This is achieved through 7 components: fuel, moderator, coolant, control rods, pressure boundary, containment, and safety systems. Heat from fission produces steam, driving a turbine and generating electricity. IPCC life cycle assessments place nuclear power's median greenhouse gas intensity at roughly 12 grams of CO2 equivalent per kilowatt hour. Coal and gas are much higher. Despite public perception, nuclear is one of the cleanest electricity sources. Accidents like Chernobyl and Fukushima show that risk is more about design and safety culture than physics. Fusion, unlike fission, joins light nuclei, releasing energy. The sun runs on fusion, but on Earth, sustaining the conditions is challenging. Helion's Polaris prototype achieved deuterium-tritium fusion at 150 million degrees Celsius, but without net energy gain. Zero power criticality tests in 2026 were milestones, not products. Evaluate atomic energy claims with 4 questions. Does it make useful electricity? Is safety passive and demonstrable? Is the fuel and waste pathway credible? Can the design be deployed repeatedly at a believable cost? The atom is powerful enough. The question is whether the product, institution, and deployment model are coherent enough to deliver clean power that is boring in the best way. Let me be direct about something. Every announcement you read about a zero power criticality test, a plasma milestone, or a first criticality event is real progress. And none of it is a product yet. Think of it this way. When we shipped the first Macintosh, we did not hold a press conference to announce that the circuit board powered on. We shipped a computer that a person could sit down with and use. The gap between a working circuit and a working product is enormous. The same gap exists in atomic energy, and it is wider. In 2026, 5 advanced reactor projects reported zero power criticality. Antares Mark Zero, Ucklow Groves, Valor Ward 250, Deployable Energy Unity, and ALO X. Zero power criticality means engineers confirmed a sustained chain reaction at very low power levels. That is a necessary step. It is not electricity. It is not a cost curve. It is not a deployment plan. India's 500 MWE prototype fast breeder reactor achieved first criticality on April 6, 2026, a more consequential milestone because a fast breeder can use spent fuel from conventional reactors as part of a closed fuel cycle. But first criticality is still not commercial operation. Interpret these announcements as proof of concept, not proof of product. On the fusion side, 3 results deserve careful reading. In August 2025, a University of British Columbia and Lawrence Berkeley team published in Nature that electrochemical loading increased deuterium-deuterium fusion rates by an average of 15%. Impressive. But the experiment still consumed far more input energy than fusion produced. In January 2026, East researchers reported in Science Advances a stable high-density plasma regime beyond conventional density limits. Plasma stability matters because you cannot extract energy from a plasma that collapses in milliseconds. And in February 2026, Helion reported deuterium-tritium fusion in its Polaris prototype at roughly 150 million degrees Celsius. Real. But no net energy gain, no electricity production. Fusion remains a physics demonstration, not an engineering product. Here is the question that separates serious proposals from press releases. Where does the fuel come from, and where does the waste go? A 1 0-megawatt reactor discharges roughly 20 tons of uranium oxide spent fuel per year. That spent fuel is approximately 95% uranium, 1% plutonium, and 4% high-level fission products. It is intensely radioactive. It goes into cooling pools first, then dry cask storage. Deep geological disposal is the internationally accepted long-term answer. But as of today, very few countries have operating deep repositories. Finland is the clearest example of a country that has actually built one. Suppose a company pitches you a new reactor design. Ask them, where does your spent fuel go? If the answer is vague, the product is incomplete. So here is the framework. 4 questions. Apply them to every atomic energy claim you encounter. 1. Does it make useful electricity at meaningful scale? Not heat, not plasma. Electrons on a grid. 2. Is safety passive and demonstrable? Can the reactor shut itself down without operator action or external power? Decay heat removal must work even if the operators leave the room. 3. Is the fuel and waste pathway credible? Sourcing, enrichment, spent fuel storage, and long-term disposal, all of it, end to end. 4. Can the design be deployed repeatedly at a believable cost? 1 working prototype is a science project. 10 deployed units with a converging cost curve is a product. These 4 questions are not hostile to nuclear energy. They are the minimum standard any serious energy technology must meet. The experience we actually want from atomic energy is boring. Power that is always there. Power that does not require you to think about it. Power that does not make headlines because nothing went wrong. Nuclear fission is already capable of delivering that experience. The IPCC life cycle data confirm it. Roughly 12 grams of CO2 equivalent per kilowatt hour, in the same range as wind. The physics is not the bottleneck. The bottleneck is the product, the institution, the regulatory culture, the deployment model, the waste pathway, and the cost trajectory. The atom is powerful enough. The question is whether we are coherent enough to turn that power into something a grid operator can rely on, a regulator can certify, and a community can trust. That is the hardest product problem in energy, and it is worth solving. Let me leave you with the sharpest version of what we covered today. Atomic energy is not a physics problem. The physics was solved in 1942, when Chicago Pile 1 sustained the first controlled chain reaction. It was solved again, more elegantly, when we realized that Earth itself ran a natural reactor at Oklo in Gabon more than 2 billion years ago. Water acting as a moderator, sustaining fission without any human intervention. The physics works. It has always worked. What has not consistently worked is the product around the physics. Consider the energy density. A single uranium fuel pellet, roughly the size of a fingertip and weighing about 7 grams, contains roughly as much energy as 20 to 30 tons of coal. That is not a rounding error. That is a different category of energy source. One nuclear reaction releases millions of times more energy than a chemical reaction like combustion. That density is why nuclear power plants can generate enormous amounts of electricity on a very small land footprint, with very little fuel throughput and very little carbon emitted across their full life cycle. The atom earns its place at the table on physics alone. The question is always, what surrounds the physics? The 4 questions I gave you are not a checklist for skeptics. They are a design brief. Useful electricity means the product delivers what the user actually needs. Electrons on a grid, reliably, at scale. Passive safety means the design does not depend on heroic operator action when something goes wrong. Decay heat removal must work even if the building loses power. credible fuel and waste means the full cycle is accounted for, from uranium mining, through enrichment, through spent fuel storage, through deep geological disposal. Repeatable deployment means the cost curve is real, not theoretical. One prototype is a science project. A fleet with a converging cost curve is a product. Apply those four questions and you will cut through most of the noise in nuclear announcements. The accidents matter and they deserve honest treatment. Chernobyl happened because of a reactor design with a dangerous instability at low power, combined with a safety culture that suppressed concern and an emergency test conducted under pressure. Fukushima happened because a coastal plant lost backup power to a tsunami that the site design had not adequately anticipated, and because decay heat removal failed after shutdown. Both accidents were shaped by design choices, institutional culture, siting decisions, and emergency preparation, not by the fundamental physics of fission. The lesson is not that nuclear is uniquely dangerous. The lesson is that nuclear risk is a product problem. Fix the design, the culture, and the institution, and the risk profile changes. The IPCC life cycle data confirm this. Nuclear power's median emissions sit around 12 grams of CO2 equivalent per kilowatt hour, in the same low carbon range as wind. That number includes the full history of accidents. Every time you read a nuclear headline, run it through the four questions. A zero power criticality test answers part of question two. It confirms a controlled chain reaction is achievable. It does not answer question one, three, or four. A plasma milestone in a fusion experiment answers a physics question. It does not answer any of the four product questions yet. India's fast breeder first criticality on April 6, 2026 is more meaningful. A fast breeder operating on a closed fuel cycle would address question three directly by using spent fuel from conventional reactors. But first criticality is still not commercial operation. Use the framework. Demand the full answer. The atom is powerful enough. The only remaining question is whether the people building around it are disciplined enough to ship a product worthy of that power. So let me make this concrete one final time. The framework is not abstract. It is a product brief written in the language of physics and institutions. And every serious actor in atomic energy, every startup, every national program, every utility is being graded against it right now, whether they know it or not. Fusion deserves its own honest accounting here. The National Ignition Facility result from December 2022 was real. 2.5 megajoules of laser energy in, 3.15 megajoules of fusion energy out. That is scientific ignition. It is not a power plant. The laser system that delivered those 2.5 megajoules consumed far more energy than 3.15 megajoules to operate. Helion's Polaris prototype reached deuterium-tritium fusion at roughly 150 million degrees Celsius in February 2026, a genuine temperature milestone. But Helion did not demonstrate net energy gain, and it did not produce electricity. The UBC and Lawrence Berkeley team reported in Nature in August 2025 that electrochemical loading raised deuterium-deuterium fusion rates by an average of 15%, while still consuming far more input energy than fusion produced. These are real scientific steps. None of them answer the four product questions yet. Fusion remains a physics project. It may become a product. It has not become one. The 2026 fission milestones are more immediately relevant. Antares Mark Zero, Ucklow Groves, Valor Ward 250, Deployable Energy Unity, and Allo X all reported zero power criticality this year. Zero power criticality means a controlled, self-sustaining chain reaction was achieved at very low power, enough to confirm the reactor design works as intended. It is a necessary milestone. It is not commercial electricity. Think of it like a prototype that boots successfully for the first time. The operating system loads. That is meaningful. But you have not shipped a product until it runs reliably for real users at scale. India's 500 megawatt electric prototype fast breeder reactor achieved first criticality on April 6, 2026. A fast breeder operates on a closed fuel cycle using plutonium and potentially recycling spent fuel from conventional reactors. That addresses question 3 of the framework more directly than any other 2026 announcement. But first, criticality is still not commercial operation. The cost curve, the regulatory pathway, and the waste logistics remain open. Here is the number that should anchor your intuition. A single uranium fuel pellet, roughly the size of a fingertip, about 7 grams, contains roughly as much energy as 20 to 30 tons of coal. One nuclear reaction releases millions of times more energy than a chemical reaction like combustion. That density is why a 1.0 megawatt electric reactor core holds only 120 to 200 fuel assemblies, and why the same reactor discharges only about 20 tons of spent fuel per year. The waste volume is small. The energy output is enormous. The product challenge is not the physics. It is building the institutional and engineering wrapper around that physics that is reliable, certifiable, and deployable at scale. The experience we actually want from atomic energy is boring. Power that is always there. Power that does not make headlines because nothing went wrong. Nuclear fission is already capable of delivering that experience. The IPCC life cycle data confirm it. Roughly 12 grams of CO2 equivalent per kilowatt hour in the same low carbon range as wind. The physics was solved in 1942 at Chicago Pile 1. It was confirmed 2 billion years earlier at Oklo in Gabon, where water moderated a natural fission reaction without any human involvement. The atom does not need to prove itself. The product around the atom does. Apply the 4 questions. Demand the full answer. That is the only standard worth holding.